He talks a lot about these dividing lines, these things that cannot coexist. Y'all ever seen these cars riding around with a bumper sticker, got a bunch of different religious symbols on them, say coexist? That's cute and everything, but it really don't work. Those things cannot coexist together in one house at the same time. It ain't going to work. It ain't gonna be. Those things are what we call diametrically opposed. That is a scientific term, comes from magnetism. They can't go together. They got different directions. And so in this part of 1 John chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse number 14 and read down to verse number 18. So let's just go with me as we read here, beginning in verse number 14. The Bible says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, I need your help. God, I need you to help me to convey this message, Lord, that you placed in my heart, into your people, God, in a way that would be helpful to them, Lord, as they go about their journeys in life. I pray, God, that you would speak to us now. Change us by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, obviously, this section is concerning the issue of loving the brethren. Now, we got to understand what we're talking about here. I've told you a bunch as we've been through this first book, epistle of John, this first book of John. In these first, second, and third John, John is writing these what's called general epistles. They are written to the church. They're written to God's people. These are not rules for the world. These are rules for the church. Does that make sense? John was the kind of preacher that understood that you got to preach to the people that will listen to you preach. And let the other ones are going to have to get to the place where they can hear it before they can get anything out of it. Okay, so John's writing to the church. When he talks about the brethren here, he's not just talking about your brothers or your sisters that are yours by blood or biologically by genetic standards. He's talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, if you study out the word as he continues on, he talks about your brother. Now, that word can be used to denote a genetic sibling, a brother, a person who is closely related to you in some way. Even beyond a sibling, it can be used to denote a family member. Abraham and Lot were called brothers, but they weren't brothers. Lot was Abraham's nephew. There's different things like that, but the way he starts, he uses the word brethren. That word is denoting the church, the compilation of blood-bought believers. We're talking about people that are God's people. That's who we're talking about here. Now, don't get it twisted. We're supposed to love people that ain't our brethren too. Jesus said, "Love your neighbor." He went a little bit more broader, as yourself. But there's a difference. In this same book, we are told to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Just back up one more verse where we ended at last time. He said, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." Understand that there is an opposition between us and the world. That don't mean you can't love them, but it means that you're not going to be able to love them and express it in the same way that you express the love you have for God's people.
Amen.
There's a difference. Amen. See, this is where the world gets messed up. They get hung up on this, "Oh, well, you're supposed to love everybody." I understand that, but I can't interact with a lost person the same way that I interact with a saved person. It ain't going to work. Those two things cannot be together. That's called being unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. Your Bible says not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, not with bad people or certain kind of people, with unbelievers. believer and an unbeliever don't go together. There's a whole lot of divorce attorneys that have made their living off of believers and unbelievers being unequally yoked. Amen. That is something that I would sooner marry if I was still doing weddings outside of the church. I would sooner marry two lost people than I would to marry a lost person to a saved person. Because I believe that you're creating a problem.
Amen.
Those two things that ain't going to go together. There's going to be issues between those. So there's a difference in your neighbor and your brethren. Are we understanding what I'm saying here? Now, he said you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. That's pretty strong. But understand something. Love is not just expressed through kindness. It's also expressed through honesty. Love is also expressed through help that is intended to help that person get to a better place.
Amen.
All right? But right now, in 1 John chapter number 3, in this section of the book, we're talking about our brethren specifically. Specifically our brethren. And here's why I believe John went there. Because if you can't love God's people, don't tell me you love other people. Now, you go over to Matthew, I believe it is, and the Bible says that if you like the old song said, don't love God, or you don't love your neighbor, you don't love God. Y'all know about that? That's in there too, but understand something. Don't tell me you love your neighbor, you don't even love the brethren. I ain't never understood a Christian can't get along with the church. Don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. That's like, there's a movie my kids watch. This is such a ridiculous illustration, but it is good. If you've seen the movie, this will make sense to you. There's a movie my kids watch called Trolls. Y'all remember Troll Dolls with the little hair on top of them? They got a whole movie about these trolls. And they all live together in the troll village up under the troll tree where they do troll stuff. And they all hang around together except for one troll that goes out into the world. What's it called? Bergentown.
Bergentown.
That's where you ain't supposed to be.
Oh, okay.
Everybody in Bergentown, they like to eat trolls. That's what they do. They have a whole celebration about it. But one troll gets sided up with it. And he messes up things for a whole bunch of them. You know why? Because it don't fit together. But I know a lot of Christians that's like that. They're supposed to be in here, but they're out there somewhere. And then when they get, when everything goes haywire for them, you know where they end up at? In here.
That's right.
But it's hard for them because they don't fit in. Because they made themselves to not fit in.
Amen.
First of all, I want you to see this. A couple of things I want to give you about loving your brethren. I'm going to try to hurry. First of all, loving your brethren as a rule. Look at verse 14 and 15. Now here's what he says. He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. By the way, that's Jesus the one said that. He said it before John said it. Jesus said if you hate somebody without a cause, then you've already committed murder in your heart. He said, he that hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I'm talking about as a rule right here. He is drawing a distinction between somebody who is living a life as a godly person and somebody who is not. He said, friend, if you don't love the brethren, you're not doing it right.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he opens by saying this. A good way to tell that we're lined up with Jesus, we're abiding in Him, is that we love the brethren.
Amen.
And if we don't love our brethren, then we become a murderer. And notice what he said. He said, this is the redneck version of this one. He said, there ain't going to be no murderers in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there's going to be some people that committed murder, that have been forgiven, that'll be in heaven. But you understand the difference. But what he's trying to tell you is, he's saying, listen, you're acting like a lost person. That's what he's driving at right here. When you hate and despise your own brethren, when you have hatred in your heart toward the church, the people of God, you're acting like a lost person.
Amen.
You know who don't like the church? The world.
Amen.
If the world love the church, I don't know if things would be a whole lot different. But that ain't the reality. It ain't never has been. They hated Jesus. They hate us now. And when you step on their side of the picket line, you become as one of them. You're acting like them. It's like when Job was going through his trial and his wife came to him, and I really truly believe we give Job's wife a little too hard of a time, because that's a woman had to watch her husband go through some things that was hard.
Amen.
And I listen, a woman's built different. When they see their husband suffering, that it's hard on them, because they're used to the husband being the one to hold them up in their suffering.
Amen.
And she looked at him and she said, "You can't take no more of this." And she said, when she said curse God and die, she knew that she thought in her mind, if he would just do that, then God would take him out of his misery. Uh-huh. And you know what Job told her? He said, "You sound like one of them foolish women." He didn't say you are a foolish woman, because Job liked living. He said, "You sound like, you're talking like a foolish woman. You sound like the world.
Right.
You forgot what's going on here." When Christians, so-called Christians, say stuff like this, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I just ain't never liked church." You sound like the world.
Amen.
Amen. Them churches are full of hypocrites. Well, what's Walmart full of? Bless God. Get out of here. What's the racetrack full of?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. But that's what we do, and we think that's cute. We think that makes us sound cool. Well, you know, these so-called Christians in these churches. Well, you ain't even in a church. What are you so-called?
That's right.
You at the house.
That's right.
What you call that? When you don't love the brethren, friend, you are purporting yourself as one of them. Mm-hmm. You might as well jump right on in line with all them ones that hate us everywhere else. What he's saying right here is you need to pick a side. I tell you something, Christian. Living the Christian life, serving God, is all about decisions, choices.
Amen.
Picking sides. Jesus said, "If you ain't ready to cut everything else loose, there ain't no need for you to come after me." He said, "A man can't hate his father and mother, can't come after me." You know what he's saying right there? He wasn't saying hatred. That word hatred will mess you up. He wasn't saying, we know that Jesus didn't hate his own mother, but he didn't love her more than he loved his purpose. In sight of the purpose of God, what he had for her could not be called love. Because that was what he really loved. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "If you ain't willing to lay down everything else, you can't follow me." Mm-hmm. Listen, y'all. You want to do something for God, you got to pick a side.
Right.
And on God's side, we love the brethren.
Amen.
I mean, think about it. This is, I'm saying, I wrote this down, loving your brother as a rule. This should be, if this is not a general rule in your life, then I need to find a way to be able to peaceably interact with God's people. Even when we have disagreements, even when we don't see things the same way, all that stuff, I need to find a way to get along with God's people. If that's not your natural inclination, you need to fix that.
Amen.
That should be a rule, and it should stand out to you when you have a negative interaction with somebody who you know is one of your brethren. That's reality. This should be a rule in our life. In the church, this should be a rule. When there's a dispute in the church, are y'all listening to me? Sometimes it's got to be, somebody's got to get in and be a referee and handle that thing, because if we ain't loving one another, we're not being the church. I don't know what we're being. Loving your brother as a rule. Now I want to see this. Loving your brother as a reaction. Listen to this, verse 16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God." Perceive. That means this is how we understand it. This is why we have a somewhat of a grasp on the love of God. Because of this right here. Because he laid down his life for us. This, I preached it this morning. How do we know God loves us? Because he went the distance. Because he sent Jesus. Jesus went to Calvary. That's how we know God loves us. Because he gave his own son. He gave his own life. That's how we know that he loves us. If he hadn't have went to Calvary, we wouldn't know for sure. Because he wouldn't have given us what we needed.
Amen.
So we perceive the love of God by the fact that He laid down His life for us. So how can other people know that we love them? Look at the rest of the verse. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Our reaction to God picturing to us what love looks like ought to be to model our love after the way He did. Let me ask you this question. Don't answer this, but just think about it. When's the last time you inconvenienced yourself for one of your brethren? Think about that. And I'll be honest with you. I'm standing in a room full of people who I don't need a whole lot harping on this, because most of you, I know enough about you to know that you fit this bill. But a Christian person every once in a while ought to sacrifice something, a sacrifice of their own time, their own treasures, whatever it may be, for the brethren. When's the last time you gave up some time with your family so you could go help somebody in the church that needed it? Think about that. How do we show our love? We show our love for your sacrifice. You'll show me you love me. Show me through your sacrifice. Husbands, how do you show your wife you love her? One of the ways that a husband shows his wife he loves her is he gets up every morning when the alarm goes off and goes to work. Amen. That's a sacrifice. If you didn't have her and them kids, you wouldn't have to do that near as much. Hey, man, I'm just telling the truth.
Don't get me in trouble.
Hey, the preacher said it. You tell her the preacher said it. Don't worry about it. Listen. But what I'm saying is there's sacrifices you have to make to show your love. You don't live your life just in how you want to when you're trying to show somebody you love them.
Amen.
You sacrifice for your children because you love them. You ought to sacrifice for your brethren when the situation calls for it.
Amen.
To show your love. It's a reaction to the picture of love that the Lord's given us. Amen. Look at verse 17. Whoso hath this world's good. Now, this is what I like about John. John just gets right down to it. He wants to make sure you understand what he's talking about. Look at verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Here's what he says now. He says, if you got it, and they need it, and you won't give it, don't tell me you love God. I mean, I don't see no other way of interpreting that. He said, if you shut, notice what he said, shut down your bowels of compassion. God's put it in you to know what's right. But if you shut that off, you're not loving like God intended for you to love. Now, let me clarify right here. I understand you can't always help everybody.
Amen.
And sometimes, quote unquote, helping somebody, you're really hurting. I understand all those nuances and all that stuff. I really do. But hear me right here. There's times when you can help. And when you can help and you won't, you have shut down the love of God which has been placed in you.
Amen.
Notice how he says it. That's such an interesting verse to me. He said, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need. And seeth. Doesn't say he seeks it out. Doesn't say he starts a charity foundation and goes looking for people that... He says, when you see... Listen, God, if you're willing to help, God will put the need in front of you.
Amen.
If you're willing, God will make it happen. Loving your brother as a rule, loving your brother as a reaction. Then I want you to see this, and I'll be done in just a few minutes. Loving your brother for real. Look at verse number 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our culture is really good at loving in word and in tongue. The word I would use is giving lip service. That is to say,
I tell you how much I care about your situation, but I ain't really going to do nothing that's going to hinder me to help you. We like to talk about love, how much we love everybody. Here's how, in the South, here's how we do it. This is going to mess y'all up, but I'm going to just say, I'm going to just phrase it. Here's how we do it in the South. We say like this, well, I love everybody, but old so-and-so, I can't stand him. Hold on a minute now. Or really in the South, we say like this, oh, you mean old brother so-and-so? Bless his heart. He really is a good man. He's a drunk and he beats his wife, but he really, bless his heart, I really love him. Yeah, he's got a good heart. He's got a heart of gold if he ever sobers up. Come on, listen, y'all. Listen. There's a difference in saying you love somebody and showing you love somebody. And you can say, well, I shouldn't have to prove myself. If you really believe that, you ain't been married long. If you really believe that, listen, turn it around and imagine how you would feel if nobody else ever tried to prove their love to you.
That's true.
We say, I love everybody. Yeah, but if you don't never act like you love them, they're not going to ever believe you love them.
Amen.
If you walk by them and turn up your nose at them every time you see them, you can tell them you love them all you want to, but that's just talk.
Actions speak louder than words.
Talk is cheap. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm getting at. Only you know how you really feel.
That's right.
If you have hatred in your heart, it's not of God. It's just not. John's made the case clear. Yeah. If your heart is filled with hate, you didn't get that from God. That's a you problem that you need to deal with. We got to be real careful right here. Because, so-and-so, I forgive them, but they won't forgive me. And so they need to forget. They need to apologize. Here, that's our best one. They need to apologize to me. Then we can get straight. Now look up in here. If you can't love them, if they won't apologize, you didn't really love them to start off with.
Amen.
And don't get me wrong right here. Because we have a very soft perception of these so-called emotional things. This is not an emotional issue. Well, preacher, but you mean to tell me that I'm supposed to show love to people that mistreat me and persecute me and treat me badly? Hey, listen, some people you just can't interact with.
Yep.
Here's what Paul said. He said, as much as it be possible, dwell peaceably with all men.
Amen.
You know what that implies? Sometimes it ain't possible.
That's true.
I tell you how you can love them without having to bump horns with them. You can love them in your prayer closet.
That's right.
You can love them between you and God. But our love needs to be real, based on compassion. Downey's Baptist Church has been around for a little over 4 years. In that time, we've seen a lot of people come, seen some go. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, I walk in here and I think, man, I wish so-and-so was still sitting on that pew over there. Or this family or that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, I ain't trying to call nobody. I'm just saying, man, there's some of them that I miss dearly. I wish I could. But listen, I'm having to love them from the prayer place right now. And they walk back in that door tomorrow, and I'm going to love them just like I loved them when they was here the first time. I'm going to try to. Because listen,
We can't have it both ways. That hateful Christians are Christians that ain't acting like Christians.
Amen.
We talk about wanting to evangelize and get lost people in here, get people saved. And man, I'm for it. Now, the last couple Sundays, we've had some people acknowledge that they're lost. They're coming. It's going to happen. They're going to come to this altar and they're going to get born again. I'm already talking to the Lord about that. He's going to work that thing out. He's going to keep drawing them. And I told him that I make your food taste bad, make your car run out of gas, whatever needs to be done to get a hold of them. You know, listen. But I said all that to say, if we want to reach those people, we're going to reach them with love, or we ain't going to reach them.
Amen. That's true.
We're not going to reach them by beating them over the head. We're not going to reach them by forcing nothing down their throat. We're not going to reach them by telling them how much better we are than they are. We're not going to reach them like that. We're going to reach them by love or not at all.
Amen.
I told somebody this morning, and I'll repeat it tonight and I'll be done. If you're going to win somebody to God, the first thing you're going to have to do is win them to yourself.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You'll never win nobody to God that you can't win over to yourself. Verse 19, hereby we know that we are of the truth, shall assure our hearts before Him. We're going to end on that, and we're going to start on that on Wednesday night. Why are these things so important? Because they let us know. They let us know. We talk about doubt and assurance and all those things. You want some assurance? There's a whole lot of promises in your Bible. There's a whole lot just in this book of promises that if you're one of God's, you'll do this. You want to get some assurance, that's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house with your people.